I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama. Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday, even if we don't want to be after a 102-93 loss to the New York Knicks. The Celtics are scuffling along through a very, very difficult part of their schedule. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales, along with Sam Jam Packard, here to talk about the MVP Super Cool Bees. Kyrie Irving, was he trying to do too much? Jason Tatum busted out a nice move, and Terry Rozier did not bust out much at all. So let's get through it all. Sam, like you said before, just before we're starting to record, the Michael Beasley jokes are not very funny when it's happening to your team.
No, objectively, just as a person who knows things, it's funny. It's Michael Beasley. He's a hilarious guy. He says goofy shit, and he just was put on an amazing performance. The idea that they were had MVP chance it's objectively funny, but the fact that he just cooked the Celtics and scored 18 points in the fourth quarter, 18 of 32 points. As a Celtics fan, it's just difficult to watch. And I want to laugh, but I'm so broken by what I just watched that it's just frustrating at this point. The Celtics are playing bad, especially on defense. They let Kelly Olynyk and then Michael Beasley just cook them in two consecutive games.
Yes. If there was an opportunity to put money down on that, no one would have bet on that. But you could have if you used my bookie, our new sponsor tonight.
Hey,
there you go. We will talk a little bit more about my bookie, but they have an opportunity to let you earn a little bit of holiday money if you're good enough to predict the future and call a few games the right way. So more on that in a few minutes. Let's get back to the events of tonight. I hate to keep bringing this up, but it's just so goddamn obvious. It's so goddamn obvious. First of all, no Marcus Morris, no Jaylen Brown, no Shane Larkin, and I'm kind of shocked that the Shane Larkin thing is important, but it is on a night like tonight. And I'm reading off of a Chris Forsberg tweet. The Celtics played tonight the second game of a back-to-back, third game in four nights, fifth game in seven nights, eighth game in 12 nights. Jesus Christ, that's a lot of games. And that's just it. The schedule right now is the worst it's going to be all season. And even a guy like Shane Larkin, who the Celtics have relied on all season long to be a spark off the bench, not available. Jaylen Brown, a starter, not available. Marcus Morris, a guy who can create points off of the bench, not available. I mean, you could say Marcus Morris is our Michael Beasley in a way, and he can get out there and cook and get hot pretty quick. None of those options. So the Celtics turn to lineups like Yabusele, Ojale, Rozier, Jason Tatum, and Kyrie Irving, which that actually was a lineup that went on a little bit of a run, but those guys are really just struggling to find any sort of consistency aside from all of the extra games and all of the tired legs and all of that. We're throwing lineups out there that just don't know how to play with each other. And it's clearly showing. They go long stretches, longer stretches than we have in the past this season of just flat out sucking.
Yeah, they're never developing any offensive rhythm. And so at times when they do run good sets or get open shots, they're still missing that. The team's just not I feel like more when the second unit in, they have a more of a habit of just not running the great offense and not getting good looks and going more on one-on-one. But even when the first unit's in, you just don't have a lot of guys making a lot of baskets. It's basically Kyrie Irving, and then if you look at the starting lineup tonight, Tatum only had 10 shots. Much of those came late. He's not like known for his aggression. You have Marcus Smart in the lineup, 3-for-10, a classic Marcus Smart performance. There's no one to really turn to for offense other than Kyrie Irving. And I would say this, during this stretch, I feel like Al Horford has been the one kind of most affected by rest. He's not playing at the same explosive level that we saw earlier in the season. There's all those storylines talking about how much more energy he has, how much bouncier he is. And I just don't think he's been as good on offense. And I feel like as the oldest player on the team, it would make sense if he's kind of affected by the lack of rest the most. But he has not been great. And with all the injuries, with Morris out, with Brown out tonight, they certainly missed his ability to score. It's just going to turn into a Kyrie Chuck fest. And I mean, I can understand the frustration in that because it's not the best basketball, but I don't know what the alternative option is if you just don't have enough talent on the court or anyone making jump shots.
Yeah, let's talk about Kyrie for a second here because there was some criticism for Kyrie tonight, and this came after, like, last week I wrote a whole thing on the evolution of Kyrie Irving's offense, and now all of a sudden Kyrie is going back to being the Kyrie that we remember in Cleveland. And so tonight he shot 12 of 27, 32 points. So 32 points on 27 shots is okay, but not great. 6 of 15, 15 three-point attempts. That's a lot of three-point attempts. And at 40%, that's fine. Only 2 free throw attempts, although you could argue that he should have had maybe a couple of more. But 4 assists. So when you're taking 27 shots, you only have 4 assists. That's the old school Kyrie kind of night. And I'm wondering, I guess part of what I'm wondering is this Kyrie saying, all right, we've struggled and the past couple of games, like we're in this crazy little stretch and I'm going to try to carry this team through this stretch. I'm going to go back to the ball dominant, not passing, not setting guys up quite as much type of player to try to score enough points for this offense that's struggling until we can get back out there and have those practices and get some rest and go back to the type of offense that has been effective. Or is he just flat out reverting to Cleveland Kyrie? And the first part of the season was the I'm trying to appease my teammates, but when the shit hits the fan, I'm just going to go back to the things I know how to do. And those are two very different scenarios. If it's scenario number one, that's fine. I can accept that. You know, he's looking around and he's spent, like I said, he started the second quarter with Yabu, Semi, Tito, and Jason Tatum out there. And if he's looking around and saying, I'm playing with these guys or I'm playing next to Abdel Nader, and yeah, Abdel Nader hit a couple of shots tonight, but if he's looking around saying, we're screwed, we don't have a bunch of guys that are key guys, Al Horford seems to be struggling right now, I have to step it up, and I'm going to do this for a short time until we can get things together. Okay, I'm okay with that. I'm still not a fan of that particular Kyrie Irving style of play, but I'm okay with that mentality. But I'm not okay with Kyrie going back to Cleveland Kyrie, and if he's just falling back into old habits, then we may have a problem moving forward. So I don't know, from your perspective, I don't know which one you think it might be.
I'm going to be middleman Dan on this one, but I think it's kind of both. It makes sense that the Celtics are both in need right now of Kyrie Irving to be kind of a more dominant scorer. The team is just not generating offense. And I feel like it also makes sense if you're frustrated or fatigued to kind of fall back on what you know best. And for Kyrie, that's kind of isolation scoring. And so I don't know if it's like a conscious decision of I'm no longer going to be do playmaking or facilitating. It feels like it's just frustration and feeling like he needs to step up because no one else is scoring. And I don't like, we blame Kyrie for kind of doing ISO, but we don't know how many possessions are just like messed up by the Celtics running the wrong play or something else like that. I feel like it's a lot of the blame gets put on Kyrie because he's the one who ends up taking the shot. But out of the people on the court that you listed, if a possession doesn't go that well, or like the action they run is not successful, the ball is going to end up with Kyrie's hand towards the end of the jump, or tends over the shot clock, and you're going to want him taking the shot. But I don't know. I think it's both out of need, and I can also see it being his kind of ball dominance being out of frustration and fatigue.
Yep. I can definitely see both sides. And problem is, you're not inside Kyrie's head, and we have to kind of wait and see what that might end up turning into. I'd like to believe that Kyrie has just settled into a mindset right now that he wants to take over because he feels like the need is to take over. And look, go back to why he left Cleveland, the reasons he left Cleveland and playing next to LeBron. Right now, look at what LeBron's doing for the Cavaliers. Cavaliers have struggled, and LeBron decided to kind of play at this MVP level in December, which he's kind of gotten away from, but he's stepped up and taken over much earlier this year. Kyrie, I feel like if he's looking around and seeing the team sort of struggling right now, this might be him feeling like, all right, this is why I'm here. This is why I left a situation like Cleveland. I left so I could, in a time of need for my team, say, you know what? Offense is fine. The coaching is fine. But in reality, a lot of things are going wrong. And you guys need a superstar player to come in and carry you through this stretch. And that might just be what he's trying to do. He might just be saying, I'm the superstar player and I'm happy to play the role when everything's going great, and backdoor cut off of high posting Al Horford, fine. But you can only backdoor cut off of Al Horford's high post when you've got guys around the floor that are spreading the floor and shooting. And you can't do that when people don't respect the other guys on the floor. So I'm, from a more hopeful standpoint, I'm hoping that that's what Kyrie is doing. But we can only wait and see. This is kind of like a new thing. This is the first we've seen from Kyrie, this old Cleveland style of basketball. And I just hope that that's not he's not reverting or regressing to that.
I'm fine with kind of having a Kyrie-focused offense. I would just like to see the Celtics use him a little bit more creatively, because whatever they're doing now has not been the most successful.
Okay, so Christmas is around the corner, and you may be needing some holiday cash. One way to get it is by expertly choosing games, and one way to do that is through MyBookie. You need holiday cash? And you can get it through MyBookie. That's the place to score some serious cash on your sports predictions. And while the holidays do mean plenty of parties and gifts and spending, it means there's a lot of football, basketball, hockey, and you can score big every day. You can play like the pros and play the money line, side, or total. And MyBookie is your hookup for all of your betting needs, and it offers super fast payoffs when you win. Where you bet is as important as who you're betting on, okay? You can bet in a lot of places, but there's only one place to trust, and that's mybookie.ag. If you want to make money betting the games, go to mybookie.ag. They're the site that we recommend, and you don't have to take our word for it. You check them out for yourself. They have the odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. And right now, you can go to mybookie.ag and they will match your deposit with an up to 50% bonus. Go to MyBookieAG and use the promo code LOCKEDON. The promo code is LOCKEDON at MyBookieAG, and you will activate the offer. They will match your deposit with an up to 50% bonus. It's basically free money. So you win right away just by depositing money at MyBookieAG and using the promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, and get paid with the Locked On Celtics podcast and the promo LOCKEDON at MyBookie.ag.
You know what I'm betting on? I'm betting on the Celtics unders because they're playing some ugly-ass basketball games recently. This was another one tonight. I think you tweeted out at one point what the two teams combined shooting in the second quarter. But it was something atrocious, like 28%. 28.2% the Celtics and Knicks combined to shoot in the second quarter. They've just been playing some ugly basketball games. And I don't know if that's a good sign that their defense is still being somewhat effective while their offense just really struggles to score. But these past two games have been craptastic.
That's one way to put it. Everything seems to be a struggle right now. On a positive side, I guess Jason Tatum had 17 points, but again, on 10 shots. But he did have that one super amazing, awesome move where an inside-out dribble on the right wing drove past Kylo Quinn, went up on the right side, up and under, finished on the left side. That was just beautiful. If I'm looking at one thing to hang my hat on tonight, it's that move right there, because that move shows the ability to score at a ridiculous level. The dribbling, the awareness, using the rim as protection and being able to finish on the other side creatively, that is a side of Jason Tatum that we haven't really seen.
Yeah, you thought Tatum was long before, but now he's using two hands. Now he's switching in midair. That Tatum length is unbeatable. If we're going to take away small positives from the game, I definitely co-sign that bill, because that was pretty cool. And other than that, from the Celtics perspective, there was not a lot of other highlights of this night. Abdel Nader hit two threes. That's pretty cool. He did something different.
That's cool.
Semi hit a three, which is always nice to see.
That was nice.
If he could like consistently hit threes, he would be much more productive. But
that would be good.
That's the crazy thing, is that there are 10 Celtics players available tonight, and five of them are rookies. Like, it makes sense when they have depth issues that the team's going to struggle, just because the team is extremely young. And they're missing like any guys that with like relative experience.
Look, we knew a stretch like this was coming this season. That 16-game win streak in the middle of it all, we had said it. We've said it on this show that there's going to be a bad stretch this season. And I know that it's hard to take a 30,000-foot view of the season when you're in the midst of a big win streak and everything's coming up Milhouse, and you just can't lose. Down, 15 to the Warriors? Yeah, sure, we'll come back and win that game. No problem. Down big to the Thunder? Yeah, come back and win that game. Sure, we got it. When all of that stuff is happening and all of a sudden a season that seemed lost became the greatest season in Celtics history, it seemed, for a short time, it's very easy to sit there and right now and feel this sense of dread. But we have been saying throughout all of that, and we've been saying what we've been saying, the Celtics were due for a tough stretch. All right? They were due. And the best thing about all of this is that they are still in first place. They still are on top of the Eastern Conference. They've gone through the worst, and they are still on top of the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, the lead has dwindled a little bit. They really should never have been on top of the Eastern Conference. So let's step back for a second and just appreciate what they did and say and look at what the reality of this situation is, that the Celtics have struggled in the worst stretch of their season. They, like I tweeted out earlier today, they will play in 2017, a season that started in the middle of October, 40 games in 75 days. Once the calendar flips, they will play their final 42 games in 98 days. So 23 more games to play, 23 more days to play two extra games. That is basically all you need to know about what this schedule has been and what it will be. So, yeah, they need to clean things up. Yes, it's not great that Terry Rozier had a shitty game or that Kyrie may be regressing or going back to his old habits or that Tatum still hasn't found that level of aggressiveness that we are hoping for, or that it's Michael Beasley and Kelly Olynyk dropping 30 plus on them back-to-back nights. None of that is great, but some practices, some rest, and some health with Morris and Brown and a fully healthy bench, that alone and not playing ridiculous stretches of games will help ease us back into playing better basketball. So I'm just hoping that we can kind of get through this next couple of weeks, just a couple more weeks, and then everything calms down.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, that's why I'm keeping my my house on Sports Optimism Island, Celtics Optimism Island, just because there's so much time left in the season and there's many factors working against them right now that they have nothing but time and like an ability to figure this out. Of course you want them to win, but it's about the process. It's not about the results. Maybe they're learning things. Maybe they're getting experience for the younger guys. And the stat you mentioned about like how many more days they have, 23 more days to play two more games.
Yeah.
You just think they have time to get better, improve, get healthy. And really they don't need to be clicking until the playoffs. Like they are going to make the playoffs in the East. And hopefully they're playing their best basketball at the end. So, you know what? They've definitely regressed a bit. They're definitely playing some real shitty basketball right now. There are some reasons for that it doesn't excuse kind of the collective shittiness and lack of energy. I would say tonight their general shittiness was not from lack of effort, which was, like, I think good to see on a back-to-back. Some of the other losses, it felt like they lacked intensity for large portions of the game. And I'm not going to completely absolve them of the performance tonight. They did leave some shooters open, but I just think that's going to happen in basketball. I didn't feel like they were just plain tired or like didn't have the effort tonight. I just think they were quite bad.
Yeah. So, look, it just is what it is. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. Every team struggles. Every team, well, not every team, goes through a streak. And, look, the Cavaliers have gone on a big streak. They struggled at the beginning. The Celtics went on their big streak at the beginning. They're struggling now. It's no team that, short of the Warriors, unless you're winning 70 games, you're not going to – every team goes through this stuff. So let's – I say all this not to excuse anything. There are things they need to work on, absolutely things they need to work on. They will work on those when they have the opportunity to do so. And so I'm just right now we're in the middle of it. We as fans feel crappy about it, but when the season is, you know, three quarters of the way done and we're sitting there in March, we remember that December's we'll sit there and say, oh yeah, that December stretch sucked, but we're okay now. We're okay. And that's it. You're just done. Boom. It becomes an afterthought. But in the middle of it, it seems horrible. So
well, yeah. And today, I might add, is the winter solstice. So the least amount of sunlight in the entire year. There's a reason everyone's feeling pissed off. It's because there's no sunlight. But from here on out, every single day, there'll be a little bit more sunshine. So that's how I'm going to choose to approach this Celtics season. It's just every day, it's going to get better. Again, it's about the process, not the results.
Let's hit up the Rain and Jays hashtag and get some of these comments out before we wrap things up. At Juice on Celtics, hot take, Bobby Portis to drop 40 on us in the next game. Oh, God.
He's just going to do it, and he's going to be talking to himself the entire time, and he's going to have that insane look in his eyes, and it's going to be frustrating as hell.
I've already gone through one Bobby Portis big game. I can't take a second one.
You ready for Lauri Markkanen to make Lauri his presence felt?
God. Oh, why do people hate me? At AS23, and all of those have underscores in between, is the loss of Morris, who seemed to be unwatchable, that big a deal, or is this team just coming back to 49-53 win Earth? I think that
Morris is good.
we talked a lot about Morris on this team on this podcast. He struggled for a while, and there was a lot of negative. We were trying to figure out what combinations he should play with, but putting him on the bench, they had that one practice at the end of November, and then they followed it up with a positive Morris performance. He can score. And what are we sitting here? What do people tweet us all the time? We need a scorer on the bench. Well, Marcus Morris is a guy who can isolate and score on the bench. So that, I think, is a big enough deal where it's not the biggest it's not the only reason. And to answer the other part of the question, is the team coming back to 49-53 win Earth? Yeah, there's that win, that winning streak, the Celtics being the best team in the NBA. Let's be honest, they were never supposed to be the best team in the NBA. The Rockets and the Warriors are clearly better overall teams, but there is some regression, but Morris is an important player. He's a guy that can go get you 15 points off the bench on a team that needs a guy who can go get 15 points off the bench.
I mean, yeah, you just take away someone. He's talented. He has an elite skill of just mid-range shot making. And when he plays, you don't have to play Abdel Nader 12 minutes a game. You don't have to try and get, squeeze something out of, diminishes the talent pool you're working from. So I don't think it's the sole reason the Celtics are playing poorly, but it definitely is not good. It's not helpful that they're not getting any production from Morris right now. And so, I don't know. It's a combination of all those things, but I think they're going to welcome his return.
At Gates_Ben, all I want for Christmas is a working Celtics offense. Don't we all? Hopefully.
That'd be wonderful.
That'd be great. I'm kind of fearing that Christmas Day game a little bit. Positive thoughts, positive thoughts. At Mauricio Green BR, this team exhausted, lack of legs to shoot, to run, to rebound, to think, to elevate, etc. It's not an effort problem. They're defending. I don't know if they have the legs to close this game, which we know that they didn't. Next game, all bench lineups, they need to rest urgently. To address that, they play Saturday night, Chicago in Boston. I do not expect a full complement of Celtics. I don't know. Definitely no Morris. Larkin, they're saying he's going to get his knee checked. It's been bugging him. We'll see about that. Brown has a sore Achilles. They're not going to mess around with that. And then let me check the minutes on Kyrie tonight. He played 37 minutes. Horford played 32.5. Not too bad. I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys missed Saturday's game. They just can't play. They can't play everybody, and they're probably going to rest somebody. So that Saturday game might be tough as well.
I don't necessarily expect them to rest anyone. I feel like Brad Stevens hates winning. Hates losing so much that losing 5 out of 8. I don't know. At some point, they just need to get back to playing good basketball and they have a full day off. I know it's been a terrible stretch, but you just got to approach it like it's the season and get back to kind of playing winning basketball. So if they're legitimately hurt, I would say go for it. But I don't know. I don't anticipate them kind of having a very passive approach. It just doesn't seem something like Stevens does. He likes to win every basketball game. So I don't know. I don't know what exactly the answer is. I think it's just kind of trudging on and trying to get through this wacky stretch into London.
And we'll make the transition into Rain and Junk with Micah Malloy, because he tagged it both. Jason Tatum with the off-the-dribble pizzazz. parentheses, when is the last time you used that word?
I have no idea the last time he used the word pizzazz, but it's a very apt word for what Jason Tatum did on that layup.
It was.
He did pretty much everything, and the switching hands was dynamite. For my rating, Junk, I don't know. I feel like the more frustrated I am, the less willing I am to put down Junk. First of all, this was just an NBA Twitter story today, but it was just talking about the NBA All-Star Draft, where the players, I guess, are picking the teams after they're voted in. But that's not going to be public, so we're not going to be able to see the draft process, which is a travesty. We have to be able to watch that. That's amazing television.
I saw Zach Lowe talking about it too, saying the same thing. You either, if you're going to have a draft like that, there's a reason. Have that be televised. Put it on TV. We want to see it all. And people are afraid of having their feelings hurt. You're the last person chosen for the NBA All-Star Game team selection. Who cares?
Be petty. Use it as motivation. That's like the NBA is awesome at pettiness. Like that's would be great. Doug McDermott kind of looks like a fake person. I'm not going to explain that. I feel like that's pretty obvious. Speaking of pettiness, they mentioned the fact that they don't show any New York Knicks games in Turkey because of the beef between Enes Kanter and Erdogan, I believe it was pronounced his name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's just like just to control the cable package to show NBA TV but doesn't play Knicks games. Like a selective Knicks blackout is all kind of dictator petty, and I found that to be hilarious. Enes Kanter destroyed the Celtics on the glass, especially early on tonight. He got a lot of crap for his inability to play defense, and he wasn't exactly used correctly in OKC, but he was just kind of one of those high-energy guys who I thought did well. I feel like the rest of my reigning junk is just talking about the Knicks. Frankie Smokes is a bit of a player. I was impressed by him. He can do some things defensively. He's pretty long as well. I just thought he was did a nice job, made some three-pointers too. This was the first time I really got to watch a full game of his. I was impressed.
Yeah, he's a very good defender. Him hitting the threes right now is a bit upsetting. I kind of get the feeling like that's what it feels like when Marcus Smart beats you from beyond the arc. So I'll just leave it at that for now.
And then the final thing is what's up with the unicorn against the Celtics? It just doesn't make any sense. He was awful. It's like Marcus Smart tamed him and he's no longer a unicorn. Like he doesn't want to go up against him in the post. I don't know what it is against the Celtics. It seems Al Horford, it feels like, defends him well. But he was garbage tonight. He didn't even play in the fourth quarter. It was all Beasley.
Yeah, he did not. Well, he seemed pretty upset. And there was he was taken out in the third quarter and was very basically he was shook. He was in the tunnel. He was kind of talking to himself, and they just basically benched him for the fourth quarter. It's easy to bench him for the fourth quarter when the guy that you have, you're riding a guy like Beasley. If you're Hornacek and you sit there and you say, okay, Beasley's cooking, all right, that's good. And he keeps on going and keeps on going and keeps on going. I would just sit there and look at Porzingis and say, you know what? Normally, in most situations, I'd put you back in, but this is working. And they played Baker, McDermott, Ntilikina, and Beasley the entire fourth quarter. Lee played 41 seconds. Courtney Lee played 41 seconds. Kylo Quinn played the rest. That fourth quarter, in which the Knicks outscored the Celtics 34-25, was entirely the bench. Baker, McDermott, Ntilikina, Beasley, and O'Quinn. So it worked. And like I said, as a coach, you look at the starters and you say, this is where I'd normally put you back in, and I'm going to ride this until it stops working, and it just never stopped working.
No, Michael Beasley just made 18. He just hit 18 points. I think it was the Knicks hit the first 10 of their first 15 shots in the fourth quarter. Another reigning junk, man. How annoying is Ron Baker? Like his just floppy haircut and just his grit and his defensive intensity. Like he is annoying as hell, and he is a stereotype of a small, try-hard white guy, and that's frustrating to me. But you have to respect him at the same time because he just was solid tonight on defense.
Look, let me tell you something. Ron Baker, if you want, like if tonight wasn't annoying enough, go ahead to Google Images and Google Ron Baker pizza. And that first image result is enough to just make you want to punch him right in that generic face of his.
Hold on, Googling it now.
Yeah, Ron Baker pizza on Google Images. Because the Knicks did this promotion. I don't even know what it's for. Oh, it's a Papa John's thing. A Papa John's, whose CEO just resigned because he made the decision to align himself with, you know, racists. But that aside, Ron Baker's just selling of that pizza in his pose is the most annoying photo I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, not a good look for him. The pose accentuates the dumb haircut. I don't get exactly what's going on here. But you know what? I'm not for him. I'm not a Ron Baker fan, but gosh darn it, do I respect him.
We'll leave it at that. Is that the end of the junk drawer?
I'm out of junk, man. That was a junk drawer.
That's fine. It was a junk game. Boston Celtics losing to the Knicks 102-93 thanks to 32 points by Michael Beasley. Just really, really annoying. After the Celtics, it looked like they were going to take this game in the third quarter, and just Michael Beasley came in and shut the goddamn door.
Before we go, this just got tweeted out, and I feel like it's important that we address it. Kyrie Irving talking about the excitement of playing on Christmas Day. Quote, the hoopla on Christmas, I don't really get into that. I don't really necessarily think of Christmas as a holiday. And so now a bunch of people tweeting Kyrie versus Christmas. I love Kyrie Irving and all the crazy shit he says. It's endlessly entertaining.
Yep. Oh, boy.
I get what he's saying. It's just like, yeah, we're just going to go to work. It's like not a holiday. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't watched the video yet. So this is completely out of context, Kyrie Irving quotes. But I feel like that's okay when Kyrie Irving's talking.
Yep. I don't know the context. And Lord knows he is going to get roasted for that. Kyrie Irving is a interesting guy, man. He's an interesting guy. I'll just leave it there. I'll leave it there because it's late. And this, if I pick it back up, we might not end this podcast for a long time. And we should end it. We're going to end it right now by letting you know that you should go to mybookie.ag. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, MyBookie will match your deposit with an up to 50% bonus. So go to
Celtics unders. Celtics unders.
Yes. If you want to go out there, if you feel confident going out there and making a wager, then go to MyBookieAG, promo code LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid, and they will match your first deposit with an up to 50% bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. As always, you should follow us wherever you are on social media. Of course, I am Reds_Army_John. Sam is at Jam Packard. And of course, our good friend and co-host, Jay King, at By Jay King. Find his stuff on Mass Live. Find us wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. If you are a subscriber, then rate us 5 stars. Leave us a good review. That really, really helps us in the ratings. We are here for you Monday through Friday. Share the podcast. Spread the word. Let all of your friends, everybody that comes over for Christmas, play it. Let them know that you should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.